right, so we're here, and welcome to Changes and New Priorities in Education During COVID-19. We are making reference to a remote teaching resources blog site that has been developed by the Technology and Education Master's Degree Cohort at the University of Victoria in British Columbia here, of which both of us, myself, I'm Renee Schwartz, and I've got one of my classmates, Lawrence Weston, here with me, and we're going to be talking about specific issues in regard to mental health and wellness. Thanks for joining me today, Lawrence.
Thanks for having me here.
All right, so why don't we start with a little bit about who we are? You're teaching up in Cowichan on Vancouver Island, and how long have you been doing that?
I've been up in Cowichan for 4 years now, in various roles in Lebanon. It's a beautiful space, and presently I'm at a wonderful school called Mill Bay Nature School, as you said, on Vancouver Island, and very fortunate to be there. How about yourself?
Well, I've been a teacher lucked out way back in 99 over at a school down in Victoria called Spectrum Community School, where I've been a fine arts specialist teaching a career program in video production, and now I'm teaching stagecraft and musical theater as well as photography, so just stuck in the fine arts in a really good way.
Yeah, and I've heard wonderful things about what you do, so.
Oh, well, thank you. And it sounds like an exciting kind of school that you've been helping to grow and bring a new perspective into what kind of education can look like with kind of a curriculum that is now a little more loosely defined by our province.
Yeah, I think we're very fortunate. As I said, it's a nature school concept. So we spend quite a bit of time outside. Not to say that it's exclusively about teaching a natural education or scientific-based education. It's all of those things and more. Very progressive and very much student-focused on, you know, co-creating a direction for students and their learning, like allowing them some agency in what they're doing and then, you know, supporting with that. So very, very fortunate. As you said, we're both, I think, in very progressive and interesting places, and it sounds both lucky to get to enjoy our work that way.
Yeah, it doesn't really feel like work when you're enjoying it as much as we are.
Yes.
Except way back, I guess, at the beginning of January, the world started hearing about COVID-19, and by the time spring break rolled around, at least here on the island and for the rest of our province, we were shut down in terms of schooling. What changed the most after that spring break for our schools?
I think for us, being primarily at this time, K-5 school, it's really about community. I mean, there's been a lot of talk about how for younger children, it's really important to have that direct contact with teachers and peers, how much of the learning is relational at that time. And I think trying to duplicate that over any form of technology is difficult at that age. And I think from our perspective, there was kind of an underlying stress and pressure to keep trying to keep that community going, which we take for granted when we're in place. Mm-hmm. And I think our school in particular, I like to think that we have a very strong community. And so that even made it more difficult. You know, teachers and peers are really connected. And being distributed really changed that for people. How about yourself?
That's for sure. I mean, the immediate change, of course, was that no one could attend school. And even though my colleagues were encouraged to make and build their online and remote teaching, it was a big challenge for a lot of us and a lot of students and a lot of families. So, you know, some of us didn't even have resources to even connect outside of a telephone. I guess the biggest priority, of course, was continuing, at least down here, was continuing the food programs that we had for our families who were in need. And that was mostly happening out of one parking lot in one of our schools where we were distributing food, you know, and less worried about schooling, at least at the start. You know, the academic part was sort of set aside for the moment, and well, you had to react to the immediate safety concerns and health concerns. Yeah. Now, I'm wondering how this change affected your students and their families.
I think it really builds off your last statement around the priorities that really matter deeply. Food distribution was obviously one that was really important to your school, which, you know, when you realize how important the school structure is to something like that, which isn't, it is educational related in the sense that, like, it's easier to learn, obviously, if you're,
But it really shows a community, doesn't it?
It's very much about community, and I think if I was to answer your question, it would be that. It's just that you're suddenly forced into a different relationship with your community. You're no longer the smiling, waving teacher at the school. You're suddenly online, and you're, you know, from your home to their home, and there's like a wall that's been broken down that, quite honestly, I think felt strange for everyone. And I think when we came back slowly and kids started to come back and parents, you could really see that the first while, as you said, there wasn't much point in getting into curriculum right away because it was really about reconnecting and having that human connection and getting back to the things that are fundamentally important before you can start learning. And I think in terms of specifically for families, no one anticipated this. And a lot of the, I think over the time I really came to realize how much families look to our school and support. Like, what are some of the community, like, we are an access point for the community, the rest of the community. And that became even broader in some of the conversations that you would have with parents and well, particularly parents over Zoom meetings or whatever. You know, how can we support you in terms of food security, as you're saying? Or not that we're medical experts by any means, but like, we have access to resources within our district and then within our community. And we became unknowingly a source for that.
Yes.
And happy to do it, but it's interesting that the first conversations in some cases weren't curriculum. It was about community.
Yes.
Supporting each other.
The pandemic shone a very more intense light on how schools are a hub for the community in a non-learning context.
Yep. Yeah.
So many governments are putting resources into mental health and wellness programs and providing more access points online and visibility in real life advertising, like advertising in print or on TV or on the radio. Is there any academic research to support these efforts by our government and our schools to get mental health and wellness programs out there and more accessible?
Well, it's a good question. I think really the support for wellness and mental health, any research, there's plenty being developed. But COVID specific, it's all very brand new. Really, obviously, like, months old at this stage that we're recording this. And it's, to me, I think generally, Renee, is that when I look at resources that were made when there was no sign of this coming have now all been adapted, modified, and how much this connection between what we're going through now, this incredibly stressful time, how much of the things that we already knew are being put into a really stark light, like the importance of maintaining your mental health and wellness. I mean, just anecdotally, I just see people who now sit on park benches and, you know, are having picnics and doing all kinds of just little small appreciative things about the world that, you know, in a busy, hectic life of previous time, we might have taken for granted. And I think a lot of the resources that are out there, I've just been blown away by how much they've been able to provide access to information. A lot of the resources that we've curated on our site have been really focused on this time and supporting people in this time. They existed before, but this has really shone a light on the importance of this. And people, I think, are really taking stock of what it means to focus on your own personal wellness and really reframe what's important.
And mental health and wellness might just be one of the most important building blocks from which learning can be allowed to happen.
Yeah.
And of course we have old evidence, for that kind of contention, that kind of thinking. I mean, we can look at even a model that might even be familiar to some of our listeners, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. I mean, mm-hmm. we need shelter and a sense of belonging before we can do any kind of higher sort of learning or intellectual pursuit, right?
Yeah, or even Vygotsky, where it's mm-hmm. all about connection. Connection precedes learning and relations, and developing that first. The social context comes before the learning context. Mm-hmm. I think really, if anything, although a lot of the COVID specific information is brand new, I mean, we're reaching back to names from a long way back. And I think we've known this for a long time. This time has just sharply put into relief how important those things were and how much we may have gotten away from it.
Right. Now, a lot of studies are putting teachers and school staff in leadership roles around changing curriculum or at least the way it's delivered during the pandemic. But they're not immune themselves to the stress of COVID-19 either.
Yeah.
Where can teachers and school staff go for help in this regard?
I think, like, you and I and our team at UVic have started to pull together a lot of important resources as I go through what we've done. But I really feel like, as I've said, I'm quite impressed by the fact that if you have access to technology, there is so much that if you just look towards what you need, you can quickly find that a lot of people have really responded well to this, like companies and organizations of every kind.
Even artists,
everybody has found a way to contribute something, right? Mm-hmm. And make themselves and their information, their talents available in a very humanitarian way. I think ours is a place to start. Our small blog is a beginning. It's very focused on perhaps more locally, you know, BC, Canada within that framework. But everywhere I've begun to search, I find if you have a need, you can find something to help you with that.
Yeah. And besides the sort of the more traditional, non-online sources of support, like, you know, simply reporting to your administration or counseling team or even your joint occupational health and safety committee, if you have, you know, concerns, there's a lot of resources online, including our own blog site. Well, thanks for talking about what the new priorities in education have been during COVID-19. And it's been quite a ride.
Yes, it has. And I think no matter how we all reconnect and start to support each other, it has been interesting to see just how much teacher to teacher, teacher to student, how valuable those relationships are. Really, in terms of just keeping your own mental balance, state of, you know, I can do this. I think that communication and just talking to someone and how fundamental that is to your own personal wellness and mental state. So this conversation has been wonderful.
It sure has, Lawrence. Thanks again very much. And we'll see you online next time.
See you online.